The current spoiler warning level is Azure.
Friends and folks, for this episode, you're looking at a spoiler warning level of Azure. We're talking about a machine from After-War Gundam X, and then a variant that never was. And then just for the heck of it, we also talk about a machine from Gundam Breaker Mobile. None of that should be spoilery for any GGP listeners, so please enjoy the episode. Hello, friends and folks, and welcome back to another episode of Mechanista in G. I'm thinking I might skip the full mechanics aerial because there's just going to be a fucking full mechanics aerial lupus, and I bet it'll be cooler. I'm Six Detmar.
And I'm Dylan. What? No. I mean, I get put into a weird place because I did that. So I got the full mechanics Barbados also, and then, of course, they didn't master grade Barbados, and I mean, with this show being popular, it's like that thing, it's a toss-up, right? Like, they could do a master grade earlier for it because it's popular. Like, when did the, well, okay, the Barbados came out 2019, that's still quite a bit after the show was done.
My personal, like, not worry, but like, the thing is, There's going to be a second core, you know, upgrade. I basically guarantee it, right?
Oh, yeah. There always is.
And I like the aerial. I don't like the backpack that much. Like, obviously, its lack of backpack, its usual lack of backpack is fine. But the, you know, we finally got to see its upgraded backpack. And I like its mechanical design, but I don't think the colors work as well for my taste. I feel like seeing it actually on the aerial, I'm like, I don't like this much as I expected. I bet whatever its upgrade form will have a really sick backpack.
That's fair. How are you, Six, otherwise?
I guess I'm all right. You know.
I ordered so many robots because I really wanted to pick up one robot, and then shipping from Japan is really weird right now, Six. Did you know that?
I didn't. Oh, actually, yes, I did, actually.
Well, okay, so you know how usually EMS is the more expensive thing?
Uh-huh.
Not quite the case as much right now. So, I got a rather large order. I got the Robot Spirit Skulma, which is the weird forearm thing from Dunbine. The Robot Spirit's Hime Brain from Brain Powered. Because both of those were P-Bandai, and the Skulma, at the very least, actually started going up in price finally. So it's like, oh, I should grab one of these before it keeps going up. You know what I mean?
I have some fucking friends who have Hime Brain and it's goddamn incurable.
I grabbed a Motoroid Maddox 01 because it's for way cheaper than what it normally is on Mandarake. It's like normally like, I think like 8,900 yen or something like that, or 8,000 yen. And it was only 6,000 yen there. And also, if you know what's going on with the yen right now, that doesn't even mean $60. That means, let's see, 6,000 yen to U.S. dollars.
At yen this moment, bad.
$41, which is... yen prices are so fucked right now. And also, there was a damaged Super Robot Chogokin Zero Rimer. The good thing is, it's not, the toy is not damaged at all. It's only the box that's really damaged. But, especially on collector's toys like that, because in Japan people like to be able to resell things because, you know, houses are generally smaller. This is why shops like Mandarake and whatnot exist for this nerd stuff. Is because you own something cool for a few months and then you go, well, I don't have room to, like, you know, display this and stuff anymore. So I'm going to now swap it out, and you get paid back most of the money you paid for, or like a decent amount of money for it, etc. You know, not most of the money, but you know, this is why Mandarake is popular though. Well, it normally goes for, like, generally in Japan right now, 8,500 yen, and in the US, $106. I got it for 5,500 yen because the box is crushed. Even though the toy is undamaged. Because I that doesn't matter to me. I'm going to throw away the box, you know?
Yeah, I feel like I became familiar with this. I mean, obviously, my first introduction to this was, you know, like, people in anime being like, oh, obviously, you need to get, you know, one for your collection and one for, you know, and all that sort of thing, right? The elements of
it's the
collector
same,
culture.
It's the same reason, right? That, I mean... This applies to why even I think rentals are so cheap in Japan, right? Like for video, rather than buying, you know, a bunch of tapes and stuff back in the day. It's like, oh, you would just go rent a thing and then you just give it back.
But the thing you may not think about is that this is, it's not purely a storage thing because it is now widespread in America. Mm-hmm. I'm sure there was always a contingent of it, but it's now widespread because of Funko Pops.
Oh, I guess that makes sense. Yeah, people.
I am occasionally, I'm occasionally made to sell Funko Pops at work, and you will have people who look at the packaging and find a nick that I can't make out with my eyes, and go, "Never mind," and walk out.
That's very funny. Yeah, it's just always been interesting because, like, you know, there's always the, I believe it was like people on the collector game market used to make jokes about how, heavily damaged in Japan means there's a small scuff on the corner, and heavily, and like new in America means the cartridge is rusted over. But, and then finally, oh, also, for Ivy, I grabbed a Transformer, a Japan exclusive Transformer that was like 1500 yen or something. Anyway, so that's a lot of things to ship, right? That's five items, and the robot spirits are fairly sized. The Maddox 01 box is like a master grade box from what I've seen. The Zeorimer box is like a master grade box, I believe, because Super Robot Shogokins are, you know, decently big. So for EMS, I'm paying 9,100 yen, which is still a lot, but that's actually nowhere near as much as I thought I would be paying for shipping. That's about $62. Here's the thing. If I had only bought one of these items, I'd be paying about $50 anyway. It's yen, the yen being weak right now and also shipping right now from Japan is bizarre. It's baffling. I don't regret buying all this stuff though, because like I said, I paid off a thing that we really needed to pay off, and then I had leftover money from all the overtime weeks, and I'm like, I'm treating myself.
Nice.
And two, it's like I said, I got a bunch of good deals because people had some broke ass boxes and stuff, so. And three, it's cool robots. I like robots. I wouldn't be on the show if I didn't. Anyway. Alright, that's my little divergence at the start, though. I just wanted to talk about how weird the yen is right now. Because it's a very... It is fluctuating wildly, mostly in a downward direction, actually.
Unfortunately, I don't have much of a way to take advantage of that. I don't really want any more Gunpla right now. Like, I made up my mind that I was like, no, I have to really, really want it to get it because I have such space issues right now, right? I guess it's very Japanese. And ever since making that decision, I actually haven't really been tempted very much. The only thing has been that that one fuck, why is my brain like this? You ever wonder why your brain is like that?
Constantly.
It's like the most obvious thing. It's like forgetting the name of the Gundam, the Woundwort that I ordered.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, it was that one Woundwort that I was like, okay, I do have to get this. But otherwise, actually, I haven't bought any Gunpla. So.
Which Woundwort?
It was the Psycho Blade Custom.
Oh, right. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course. I mean, that one, to be fair, it's pretty cool.
The colors
look good. I'm excited.
They redid the figurehead V-Fin.
Yep, they made it look even fancier.
Mm-hmm.
Which is good. I'm probably going to just put the regular V-Fin on it because I'm a coward, but, you know.
Wow, you are a coward. Listen, if it didn't have that, I don't know if I would have bought it.
I like the color scheme. Well, I'm probably also going to put the Barzam limbs on it is what I'm thinking, because I do have that Rezion Barzam, and I do really like the way they look on it. We'll see, though.
We'll see.
Yeah.
Shall we roll?
Yeah, we shall roll. Well, you shall roll.
What do you want to do?
Okay, well, it's not going to be a secret. We're doing a guest episode, right? So
yeah.
We should probably just do a normal roll.
But we haven't done listener in a while.
Have we not?
It's been 4 or 5 eps, I think.
Wow.
We've had a couple of roles that coincidentally were also on the guest list, and that's worked out very nicely for them.
I forgot about that. Well, let's just do that then. Let's do a guest role. I didn't even think about that.
Okay. What the fuck has happened to all my dice? Okay, well, I think I have enough dice to do this anyway.
Someone eating your dice when you're not looking. The dice-eating fairy.
I don't know. We'll use our D4 as an effective D2. Okay. Second half, because it's even. It's even or odd. That's how we do this.
I always love the design of when people try to make actual D2 as opposed to using a coin.
Yeah, it's fun. You just make a lot of smooth sides so that it just can't stop.
Yep.
And then 12.
D1, that's just a Mobius strip.
Okay, it landed weird. All right, we can do that. We'll probably have time for... I'm going to guess we're going to have time for 2, but I guess, you know, listen, anything we'll can happen.
Yeah.
This is a request by Cynthia from the Abnormal Mapping Discord.
Okay.
This is the DTM700D.
That's a weird model number.
Uh-huh.
Can you give me... What universe is this?
You know what? I'm not going to give you universe because I feel like you'll get it too fast.
Okay.
I'm going to say this is a handmade mobile armor.
Handmade mobile armor. Hold on. Just give me one moment. A handmade mobile armor. With this...
And we will only have one variant to talk about, and it's a variant that was never made.
What is it? Enel's... thing.
Mm-hmm. This is the Esperanza.
Esperanza. Okay, yeah. Okay. Because, yeah, as soon as you said unmade variant, that's what hit me. Is, because to be fair, it's a very cool unmade variant.
It's very cool.
And plus, it's a mobile armor becoming an unmade variant, so that makes sense. Okay. Alright, well, we'll talk about it then. The DTM700D Esperanza. So, the funny thing about the Esperanza, too, right, is it already looks like it should have a mobile suit mode almost, but we'll talk about it. So, yeah, this is piloted by NLL. This is, oh, wow, is it really only used once in the show? I do remember it, is the thing. Yeah, I guess it was
only used once. Yeah, no, because we see it displayed, right, it gets shown off, and then she flies it once in an attack. So we see it used twice. It was only used once in action. And then she immediately is just given something else. She's just given like a generic, like a slightly customized Dautras.
Yeah. Interesting. All right. So the DTM700D is an Esperanza, used by NLL, made by mostly salvage and junk parts. And that kind of makes sense because if you look at it, so let's talk about this design. So first of all, it's a mobile armor. So we're going to just start from the front of it because it does kind of have a head. The front of it, the nose is a mono-eye equipped head, basically. It's mostly like a plain nose. It's got like these little yellow details on the sides, like around the mono-eye track. And then above that, you've got like a big intake. And all of this sweeps back and it ends in kind of a point. And that's just like the main central fuselage, right? Then you've got the wings. And this is where things get a little weird. So like you've got, you know, the parts that are stuck to the blue armor parts that are stuck on the upper body of the Esperanza here on the upper part of the fuselage. And, you know, it's swept back armor. They have little, like, tiny wings at the end. And then underneath that, you basically have a waist with 2 mobile suit legs that are pointed backwards.
I really love that this is... I mean, I like it getting a mobile suit form eventually, especially because I think the mobile suit form looks cool. As we'll talk about. But I also just really love the idea of someone taking the legs that always look kind of like shit on a, like, a Wave Rider form and being, oh, wait, no, it can't transform. These are just its thrusters.
Yeah. Well, like, and it can't even rotate them. Like, if you look at the sides of them, right, like, these were built into the waist kind of hard. So it doesn't look like they would be able to transform very well. If you look at, like, the shapes going on. There's just mobile suit legs that were converted into jet engines, basically. Like, they even have intakes and stuff on the legs. And yeah, those are just legs that are swept back. You know, they have knee armor. I don't think they correspond to any particular mobile suit. I don't think they're, like, Dotra's legs or anything, looking at them. They're just legs. You know, they got, like, kind of a little bit of ankle armor, a bit of a heel, and then you've got the toe pointing downward, and yeah. And that's, I mean, that's basically it for describing the Esperanza. Its colors are, you know, these are the same colors as Enel's, the fancy high mobility Dotra she had. Yeah, the high mobility command type. So it's, you know, like, blue, but instead of, it's got that same dark blue, instead of the, like, red, though, it trades that out for yellow, like, yellow stripes, and there's a little bit of yellow on the wings and such.
And it looks good.
It looks good, yeah, and then you have, dark gray for, like, the rest of the details. Yeah, there's just a weird mobile armor that, has a cool mono eye. It really only has a very small amount of weapons. It's got, two what look like intakes around the head, I'll say. Those are not intakes, that's actually where the machine cannons are. Because it has two machine cannons there, and then, it two has beam two yeah. beam guns, yeah, on the underside, and I guess those are, oh, maybe those are the intake-looking parts on the legs, actually. Because if you look at the waist, you can also see, like, some vertical intakes. I don't think those are the barrels, so I imagine it's the round parts on the outside.
So the Gundam Wiki calls these beam guns, however, MAHQ calls them beam cannons, and judging by the power we see of them, I'm going to go with cannons.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Just Gundam Wiki being bad at things. Speaking of Gundam Wiki being bad at things, we are offered in its little, like, preview here, you have the front image, and then you have the video, which is a single still of the deck of the Freedon with no one on it, and if you click through, it says this video is private. Good job, Gundam Wiki.
I'm betting that was the old, because Gundam Info did used to update or upload, like, little videos like that. I think they privated a lot of them, though. So it's now just a blank section on a lot of the wiki.
You know what? I guess that's a case where I assumed it was a video they made themselves and then fucked up. But yeah. If it's you referencing someone else and you've haven't gotten around to updating it, I know how that is. That's okay.
Yeah, Like I said, they used to do, like, these, like, little video, like, little info videos on Gundam Info, basically. But yeah, and this is a cool unit. There's not a lot to say about it, right? Like, because it only gets used the one time. We don't really have anything like this in Gundam, because, you know, you get mobile armors that tend to be referential to, like, making, like, a humanoid form, but not in this way. Like, this just having the legs like that just feels like a mobile armor faking being a mobile armor. Weird.
It has that. It has the fact that it looks like Kyogre from Pokemon. It also, like, I just feel like really strikingly, like, protagonists don't get mobile armors. If they do, it's like for one dramatic fight, right?
Yeah.
And this is just, I mean, and I guess technically the way this works out is it is one dramatic fight.
Yeah, because it gets shot down immediately by the Frost Brothers when it is used.
But it's also, I think, partially just a factor of the fact that at that point the show was canceled and they had to wrap it up. Yeah. I think, like, yeah, I don't know. I really wish it had just been, I wish we'd gotten a little more gun. I think Gundam X got even better because of the rush, right? As often happens, I think, with some shows that are taking their time and then have time after getting canceled, suddenly they start really hustling and it gets good. But I would have loved to see some time with the Esperanza just being one of the units they launched from the Freedon for encounters, you know?
Yeah, like, it's, It feels like a big deal thing. It's literally like, oh yeah, you get this cut, because it does appear, you know, like, the way it appears and whatnot, it's just like, oh, this is Enel's, like, gonna be, like, Enel's big thing, and then it's kind of not. And then, of course, we do have the Esperanza 2, which is very funny, because here's the thing, though, looking at the sketch, it's definitely... I think this was going to be destroyed no matter what, because if it doesn't share the same parts, really. It's called the Esperanza 2, but it doesn't actually share any parts whatsoever, which I find interesting. Esperanza means hope, so, yeah. The Esperanza 2, though, is basically turning this thing into a Gundam. Like, it has some elements of it, I imagine. Like, I'm pretty sure the colors and whatnot would have been the same, because those feel like Enel's custom colors. Mm-hmm. But, like, the legs are not the same legs at all.
Right, right.
We
do on the wiki have art of it in color. Please note the note below it where it says this is presumably what it would look like, a.k.a. this is fan art.
Yeah, this is just fan art. I don't know why they put that here, because that's just fan art. Presumably what it would have looked like. Now, I don't know if these notes have color listed on them. It's entirely possible it does have the colors listed, so maybe it is more accurate, but...
It doesn't look like they do.
I was gonna say, I'm not seeing it, so...
And I think it would have more blue on it.
I think it would be more blue, yeah. Like, same thing. I would imagine it has more blue over the body.
I mean, this is a Jinya Ishigaki design.
Uh-huh.
And he's not too scared to add some color to shit.
Yeah. This is a cool-looking design, so I guess we'll move on to talking about that. Because, yeah, like, I like the Esperanza, and I want to talk about it more, but it's... There's not a lot to talk about with that, you know. It gets used the one time. It gets some cool animation. It floats over the water, and then it gets destroyed.
Yep.
And the things interesting about it are that it's a unique idea, right? Like it's hard to compare it to other things because it's just its own weird little thing. It's something that's kind of unique to X, is like something with that idea, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, and then eventually it would be updated into being a mobile suit, or at least, at the very least, she gets a mobile suit and she calls it the Esperanza 2. So we don't know a lot of details about it, but we do know what it looks like, and we know a couple of its functions, and you know how it's, surprisingly, how its joints work and whatnot. We'll get into that. So, starting with the head, we have a head with a V-fin and a forehead jewel, but it's a very high V-fin, the initial one. So, like, you know, the main V-fin attached to the forehead jewel is, like, two horns, and they're very vertical compared to what we normally get.
Almost a stray-ish in that sense.
Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, it does have V-fins that are coming out at a normal angle, just further down the side of the head.
And these ones are, like, you know, non-fancy woundwort style, just the two poking out the side.
Mm-hmm. It does have a mohawk camera. It does have two little, like, you know, cheek vents. And then it looks like it has a Gundam face, but interestingly, just the Gundam face. It doesn't have, like, visible eyes or anything, right?
I want to believe this still has a mono eye.
Oh, yeah, I could see it being a mono eye. I didn't know if it was going to be a mono eye or just have, like, a screen or something, but the brow ridge is drawn really thick, so it looks like it could be, like, a mono eye track. But it does have, you know, like, two little dashes for the face. It does also, it looks like it has, like, kind of, like, the Victory style one where it's got the line going down the middle, too. Mm-hmm. It's a pretty cool-looking head, though. Then for the torso, the torso is kind of interesting, so... It juts out a bit more than your average, like, mobile suit torso, like, the middle of it. And you have, it looks like it's two hatches, but it's just one cockpit hatch. It's just the cockpit hatches on the bottom. And you can see, actually, how it opens on the left.
The way it's designed there kind of imitates the double X's to, you know, receivers.
Yeah, that is what it looks like. Because it has, like, it has some obvious, like, you know, differentiated parts on the front. I'm trying to see. Unfortunately, there's no way I can read that little katakana note there. You see that, right? This is very rough.
Even if this was higher resolution, I'm going to say it looks like Junya Ishigaki does not have the world's neatest handwriting.
No. And you can see, but you can see it also has two vents on the chest. I'm just wondering if, given how those are drawn and the way he's put, like, the shine on it, if those are both sensors, you know? Like, if those would be, like, sensors. Actually, let me see. What did that fan art do with them? I'm curious.
They just assumed they're white. It just completely colored them over.
Yeah, see, the way that they're shaded on this makes me want to think that they would actually be, like, green or something. Like, you know,
there is an indication of depth, absolutely.
But yeah, and then on the chest, you have two chest vents, and these are weird style chest vents. It's kind of like, you've got, you know, the shape of the chest vent, and then a big black, you know, inner lining, and then, like, a little colored in area in the middle. So it looks like it's, like, you know, it's a very different style of vents than we normally get.
Yeah, a pair of eyes looking.
Yeah. And then it has a very thin, and then the bottom of the torso is very thin going into the waist. For the shoulders, we've got very simple shoulders. Though I will note, the left shoulder, it appears, has a shield of some sort on it, on the back of it. But it's only on the left shoulder.
And it's an extension of the forearm, as you can see from one of the pieces of art down below about how it folds down.
I actually never realized that. That's cool. Oh, so it just has a built-in shield on the arm there. That's really neat, actually. I never even realized that. I just assumed it was like a shoulder shield. The arm actually has some interesting armor too, because if you look at the armor on the front, it's actually not the arm armor. That's attached to the shoulder. Because you can see it on the left shoulder even better. Mm-hmm. It actually just has armor hanging down to represent like the bicep of a shoulder. And then it's actually all like a big gray piece underneath, which I think is really neat.
This is a thing I think we'll get into more with the leg, but it seems like the way this is designed is it has a very solid inner frame, and the armor is in a way kind of floating on top of it, and it's very willing to fold it away.
Mm-hmm. And then
which I think is really cool.
When you hit the lower arm, the lower arm has actually a fairly amount of guard, like not even including the extended guard on the left arm. If you look around the whole thing, though. Like, you can see it has also, like, a big wraparound on both sides, like a big piece of armor protecting the back of the joint.
Also, big tall geese vibes from the lower half of these arms.
Yeah, they're very glovy. In a way that looks cool. Big wrist cuffs also. And then we can see it holding a beam saber in the image as well, in the right arm. I just really like that shield now that you mentioned that, because, well, here's the thing, so this is the thing that comes from even, like, Armored Core. I actually really like when arms extend, like, from the elbow extend further, and now, you don't normally get that in Gundam, because generally that would, you know, the way they're done in Armored Core, arms in Armored Core can't always point directly down, because the idea is, why would it? You know, it would just need to point at an angle and the arms can rotate, so it would never need to have the arm point directly down. But this way of having, like, the armor on the outside so it could still bend the arm down all the way, theoretically, it's pretty neat. I like it. When you go down to the leg, or the waist, pretty simple skirt on the whole. Like, you've got, like, the crotch piece in the middle, and then you kind of have, like, more of a wraparound skirt. It's very short on the front, like, so it wouldn't impede mobility at all. It's not like a segmented skirt, though. It's like a wraparound skirt with, like, a bigger rear part than it does have a front part. So it's a very weird style of skirt, very different than what we, like, are used to with Gundam, you know? For the legs, both having armor, like, it looks like those would be the thighs, but that's not thighs, that's floating armor, because the actual thighs are just, like, a gray sort of inner frame that you can barely see, and if you look in the lower left, you can see the way the leg bends, it's actually that whole thing that you're seeing of the leg is what bends, you know, like, including that armor that's over the thigh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this actually has no thigh armor. and can pop a squat to use what you would think would be its thighs as cover.
Yeah, it's
cool.
it's pretty cool. It's a very strange idea for a machine like this. Moving on down though, so you've got like very like on the actual knees, you've got like a little bit of armor too, and you've got some cool like I like the way these are swept back on the sides of like where the joint would be underneath, like these just this swept back armor. It just looks cool. Mm-hmm. Also, very big Talgi's vibes from the shape of these, also, especially because of the way the thigh armor works. These just feel like really high boots.
Yes, so the riding boot look. Yep.
Uh-huh, it's pretty cool. When you hit the ankle armor, you've got basically just wraparound ankle armor. It looks like it has some detail on the sides, which, again, I'm going to refer to the fan art because, yeah, no, they don't color this at all like I would think. I would think that because of those like little notches on the sides of the ankle armor, those feel like they would be yellow to me personally. Anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, but also, maybe you're just getting Talgi's fire.
Talgi's spring, yellow, yeah. Talgi's spring. Oh, it's very Talgi's spring.
So does the Esperanza. Uses a fair bit of blue.
Yeah, that's the thing.
In fact, even in fan colors, this is Talgi's two colors.
Yeah, I guess it is, huh? And then the feet, I like these feet a lot, actually. So, it almost looks like it's got, like, a normal mobile suit foot, but then with, like, an extended, like, toe. Just because of the way it's drawn here is, like, you know, it looks like it's wearing a shoe, almost.
Yeah, but the way it's, I mean, the way it's built with the, like, the foot sliding up and then the toe part being separate, it is clearly built to imitate the way the Esperanza as a mobile armor has those folded feet.
Yep, and then you also have a very tall heel on the back of it, too. Not, like, very tall. It's not, like, high heel feet, but it does have a higher heel than a normal mobile suit. You can see the gap in the foot there and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is just, this is cool. Yeah, cool. An old mobile suit Esperanza 2, 1996, 7/11/1996 is when this was drawn.
If those were collectors on the chest, I want to believe that this would, you know, absorb moonlight, but not for a cannon, for a beam saber or for a shield or something.
Does say that the only thing I can make out in the writing on the upper left is it does mention a beam rifle of some sort also. That I assume it would have.
This is one of those cases. Listen, Gundam Breaker Mobile, you're bad. I don't like you very much. I don't think you're fun, and I think your monetization sucks. However, this is a chance for you to do some good. Make it.
They're not going
to. I know. No one ever will.
They did do one cool thing in that, which was making Code Sora real, which is funny to me, but. Because Code Sora is based on the tangent that is not really spoilery. When G-Reiko was going to come out, when Sky News did an interview with Tomino, they put up a fake Gundam in the background so that people wouldn't have the G-Self's design leaked early.
Mm-hmm.
And that fake Gundam looks a bit more like a traditional Gundam. It's still drawn by, like, Akiman, and it's still pretty cool looking. But it looks like a realistic concept art, and it's actually just decoy art. And what they did is, in Gundam Breaker Mobile, they did make a unique mobile suit that is based on that called Code Sora because Sky News was the one that it was made for. Get it? Sora Sky? Haha.
Yeah.
Let me link you this design, actually.
I'm looking at it. There's a page on the Gundam Wiki.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I was going to link you Akiman's design, but I guess they have that
art down there, too. Yeah, okay, honestly, yeah. Akiman's design is cooler than this, but...
Yeah.
You know.
I mean, you know, video game budget. What are you
Though I do... I like it better than colors. I thought, because I didn't realize the way those leg units worked. That's kind of cool.
It's a very funny unit to me, though, just because... Yeah, the idea of taking a distraction mobile suit and then just making it into a real thing is very funny to me. Anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But that would be it for Esperanza stuff, right?
Why don't we actually do the Code Sora? It's never going to happen otherwise.
Sure, we'll throw that in at the end. Code Sora.
I mean, it's not spoiler. It doesn't fucking matter at all.
Yeah, no, it's for a video game. So, yeah, okay, fine. The code Sora. Okay, so, in Gundam Breaker Mobile, there's a Gunpla that they did that was an original design called the Code Sora, made by Toma Eisen, aka, if you know what the Live Lance Heaven is, from, like, the Breaker OVA, that guy, the guy who made that.
And the Code 5, from a, which we covered on a previous episode, the G-Self episode.
Yep. And he made this also, and this is a very weird suit. I personally like this one a lot, but that's because I like its colors, because it's gray-gray and, like, this sort of, like, combination. Whatever color you would say is between gold and silver.
It's like a, I mean, you could say electrum, or you could say, like, a sort of, like, a desaturated bronze.
Yeah, it's a very good color. I actually, that's a color I use in GBO2 very frequently when I'm not trying to just do gray-gray-orange. But anyway, yeah, so the head on this design is a big V-fin. This is matching the original Akimon art, too. It's like just a singular big V-fin. It does, this version of the design, as opposed to Akimon's original, does also have, like, a secondary V-fin built into it, like, that's going completely vertical. Just, like, two little notched horns coming out of the V-fin. Then for the head, you've got, like, a very tall, thin Mohawk camera. Not quite, like, Gundam Seed style. You know, it's not, like, a big, giant Zaft camera. But, yeah. Then you've got the head Vulcans, and actually around the head Vulcans, interestingly, you actually have two more sensors. You can see, like, the little light blue parts.
Oh, yeah.
And then you've got this very, I like the way this cheek armor is done, because you have, like, the cheek armor with the vents, and then it's got, like, a second set of cheek armor. I just like the layering of armor there. It looks cool.
Yeah, it looks more, like, insectoid in a cool way.
And then you've got the Gundam face on it, which is not a very normal-looking Gundam face. In the original design, this actually did have the two, like, little Gundam vents. This one omits the vents, and instead you've got three white segments of face, and then you've actually got, like, that electrum color as, on the bottom of the face mask there, surrounding the chin, which the chin itself is, like, basically, I believe it looks somewhat dark blue, but I think it's just a black, but it's just got a slight bit of blue to make it stick out more, like, if we're looking at, like, you know, the color.
Go ahead.
I was just gonna say, it's just very dark, though. Yeah.
The shape of the armor around the eyes is also a little different than a common Gundam. I feel like the eyes, like, the shape of the eyes is a little more emphasized than as usual.
Mm-hmm. Which feels like it's taking that just directly from the G-Self, but yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, it's a bit darker around the eyes, though. But they're pretty cool looking, I think. And then, yeah, moving on down, though, the torso, you've got this very, almost Gundam 00 era-looking torso to me, honestly. Like,
it feels too complicated. It feels astray to me.
Feels astray? I guess I could see that, too. It feels like late 2000s Gundam, like, very detailed type of design.
Yeah, yeah.
It does have, like, you know, like, notches for chest vents, but, like, the chest vents are more hinted at than just being, like, the typical vent design, you know? You can see, like, the black line going through the middle of the two electrum-y pieces in the middle there. But, like, you know, like, the vent is not designed like normal Gundam vents. And then it's got these, like, so most of the upper torso is, like, black, but then you've got, like, a bunch of bronze going down the middle and then, like, on the vents. And you've got these lines going up and down from the vents that I think look really cool. The cockpit hatch looks like a little mouth to me, like a little bird mouth, which is just, I don't know, it just looks like it's got a funny little bird face to me when I stare at it too long. But very, very angular, very sharp going on with, like, this chest design, right? Like, that, I think that's the other thing that, like, made me feel kind of 00, is this feels very Ebikawa in some ways. You know, it's just it's a very angular design going on, and a very, like, modern, for lack of a better word, Gundam design.
Yeah, I think the only thing that makes me think, the only reason I feel more astray is I feel like it's too, I almost want to say craggy, right? I feel like 00 designs have some details, but mostly their lines are unbroken, whereas this is very staggered.
Yeah. The shoulder armor, this is like where we start getting into parts that are really different from the original art, because the original art, basically it looks like what happened on the original is that Akiman took the G-Self and then tried making it look like more of a normal Gundam, you know, just to throw people off. This actually omits just having, like, G-Self shoulders, though. This actually has, like, pretty unique shoulders. These are very rounded, cool shoulders with, like, armor, like, so, first of all, there's a big, like, black line going down the middle of the armor, right? Like, when you're looking at it from the front, which is cool.
It seems like it's actually a gap.
Yeah. I guess it does, now that I'm seeing the one on the side, yeah. I like that it has, like, armor at the end of the shoulder, as well as some thrusters at the end of the shoulder. And then the other cool thing there is when you look at the lower shoulder armor, it then has, like, the bicep guard sticking out down from below, which I always think looks cool when that's coming out of shoulder armor. And then actually, towards the base of the shoulder, like, where it's connecting to the forearm, it actually has, like, really low armor, like, for protecting the joints or something, which just looks really neat. I just like the way that looks.
These little overhang flaps. Yeah, it's good looking.
Then the upper arm itself, you can see a little bit of the gray, like, inner frame there, and then you've got, like, the bicep armor itself. The joints are still doing the G-Self thing. You've got these joints with, like, a little glow in the middle of them. And then the lower arms, though, just fancy squared lower arms. I do like that it has, like, that electrum-y piece in the middle of the four of each of the forearms, like on the bottom side of the arm. But yeah, nothing too special there. And then the hands are hands, you know. The skirt, very classic Gundam thing going on here, where you've got, like, you know, a little notch with the Federation V in it, because, you know, to be fair, a lot of things outside of UC use that, but I always call it the Federation V because that's what it is.
It's a little higher up, though, than usual. Usually it's on the lower part of this thing.
Yeah,
so it almost looks like a belt buckle here.
And then, like, yeah, the waist itself, too. So you've got, like, the middle crotch area, but there's, like, a big divide between, like, how far it's jutting out at the top and how far it's jutting out at the bottom. Like, same with the skirts, too, if you look at the two front skirts. Like, the top part is, like, further back. Mostly this is just kind of greebly detail rather than being, like, distinct items to describe on this, right? Like, you've just got, like, you know, you've got, like, a little black square or dark-colored square in the middle. Then on the bottom part, you've got, like, a sort of notch of thicker armor on the inner part of the skirt on either side. These side skirts are really odd on this design, actually, too. You've got these, like, very square side skirts, and these actually come from the original design too. They're just like these really big square panels of armor,
but they're grenade launchers, aren't they? Look at the little things. I mean, they look weird, but they have all the signs that you would see on grenade, like, a Jigen. Or
I don't see it mention a grenade launcher.
No, but you only see that, like, they only mention, like, it may or may not be, right? But the only information we have are based on abilities it has in the game.
That's fair.
We don't have, like, a manual that breaks down things.
That's fair. I wish they would do a model of this thing. And then going down to the upper thighs, you've got... These are really cool. I like how, like, the middle of the armor is kind of sunk in a little, and you have, like, a line in the middle going horizontal, and then, like, two little dots for detail. It's kind of got, like, this, like, layered padded look going on. Like, if you look at the inner thigh, it also has this going on. Just looks cool. Just looks like a cool way to do armor. The armor ultimately is still pretty plain, but...
It's also worth saying, by the way, that the skirts are pretty short, so you can actually see quite a lot of the upper leg.
Yeah. Same with the rear skirts, actually, too. This doesn't, like, have, like, the typical, like, you know, big rear skirt piece either. It's just... Basically, the front pasted onto the back for the skirt. Slightly different colors going on, but, you know, similar design on the front and back. But yeah, and then you have the joint, and the joints, of course, on the back have the color going on, like the little lights in the middle. And then you've got, for the lower leg, you've got really cool knee armor. And then on the sides, you have these really cool thruster pods. And these kind of are based on... Kind of based on the G-Selfs, and kind of based on, if you look at, like, the Sky Gundam art, you can actually see, like, there's an idea that, oh, it would have an attachment there, because you can see, like, because, again, he made this look like a very in-progress, like, real concept art, which is so funny to me. But you can see, like, the hint of, like leg thrusters that would be kind of like the G-selves on that design.
The way they work, though, is also, like, evocative of, like, the Atlas Gundam, which we can't talk too much about here, I guess, but...
Yeah, we'll talk about what these do in a sec when we go lower, but... So, and then on the inner part of the calf, you've got, like, little vents on the sides of the knee as well. Just, you know, facing outwards. They look cool. Just, again, a lot of greebly detail going on with these legs. Once you hit the bottom, though, this is where things get weird, because when you hit the ankle armor, right, so that it has full wraparound ankle armor, but this is also where the little arms are around the ankle for these thrusters to pop out from. You can actually see it in, like, if you look at the bottom, there's the thruster pod extended art, which looks cool.
It does.
These also emit beam fins when they are out as well, which, you know, that looks cool too. The three beam fins, kind of, they're reminiscent of, like, the ones on the F-91, you know, like, that pop out of the shoulder, the normal fins. It looks cool. These actually, you know what I bet I know what these beam fins are based off of. Hold on. This is, not something I'm gonna bring up because spoiler unit, but the idea of this, I think, is based on a specific thing. Let me show you real quick.
Okay.
Here you go. Where are you? Speaking on flight units, also units that focus on flight. While that's not what these are for, I'm wondering if they're kind of based on, like, this other suit from G-Reiko.
I am less sure.
I don't know. They clearly look more like F-91 things in the game. Like, because you can see the picture of the fins, like, with the things, right? With the beams out.
Yeah, totally.
Because they're definitely just three straight ones. I just wonder if they went, oh yeah, a thing from the show also does this, so.
Yeah. Yeah, anyway. This is for anyone who, like, to not spoil, but still make it clear what we're talking about. We're talking about another design from G-Reiko that is another Gundam with a minor transformation-y feature.
Yeah. Not a huge deal, but anyway, so, like I said, though, so, like, little sub-arms on the legs, I guess sub-legs, going on, and I really like the way these thruster pods pop off. And finally, the feet. The feet are pretty much normal Gundam feet, and then the backpack. The backpack actually, hold on. Let me see if this is doing what I think it is. So the backpack looks like a normal Gundam backpack, but with, like, a weird ring on the back of it, right? Like, that's basically the difference with this backpack. I thought there was another design that... I can't remember what it is now, though. That has, like, a ring on the backpack like this that didn't get used in something, but I can't remember. Anyway, it's basically a normal Gundam backpack with, like, you know, two beam sabers that are visible from the front. The beam sabers are kind of more Mark II style because they have backs on them, like, that are, you know, propping them up on the backpack. And then, yeah, you've just got this cool little ring in the middle. Cool backpack. Finally, for the armaments, we get some really cool armaments. This is the thing I like about this suit, because... I mean, okay, so it has head Vulcans, and it has the two beam sabers. Its other weapon, though, is a beam lance, which I love the design of. This is, like, just a completely unique design. It's really cool.
It is really cool. It's, like... It feels like it's a combination of, like, a shot lancer and, like, the,
Like, you took the beam axes from...
Like, the Sazabi or Sinanju.
Yeah. It's, like, two of those beam axe pieces. I really like how this looks, though, like, doing that as a lance.
I guess the way it comes to an extended point is more specifically Sinanju, but...
Yeah.
But, yeah, that looks really cool.
It's a really cool lance design.
I also like that all the beams here are like just a very, like, soft sky blue.
Same colors that I think actually, now that I think about it, that, like, the Live Lance Heaven has going on too, or Live Lance Heaven, whatever.
Gotcha.
And then the shield is very much based on the G-Self shield, but it is given some extra ornamentation all over it. But it's like a small physical shield, you know? You've got the little visor for the eyes on the top. You've got a sort of a new style kind of cross going on, like not the classic Gundam, just big, you know, cross on it, but definitely evoking that. And then it's got like a little smaller one on the bottom. Then you've got black armor lining the outside, except for on the very bottom of the shield where you've got some more of that Electrum color going on. It's very cool. I like this design a lot. Like I said, I just, look, I think this is a really cool design for being a cool, you know, just a cool, unique unit for the video game. This is a cool idea, is making a character make a design based on a fake design.
Mm-hmm.
For, oh wait, I said Sky News. It's Sky Perfect TV. I mean, I forgot, Sky News is like the British thing, right?
Right.
Anyway, sorry, but yeah.
And this, you do have... We're not going to fully cover it, but also down at the bottom of this page, you can see the Sky Gundam.
Yeah, the Sky Gundam is a bit more plain, honestly, I think, because it is just kind of reverse engineering, turning the G-Self into a normal Gundam in a lot of ways. But yeah. Yeah, this is a cool unit, though, I think. Just one of the game originals that I think is neat for Gundam Breaker Mobile. There's a couple that are neat that we've talked about, because we talked about the Ground Soul, I believe, on the Windward episode.
Mm-hmm.
Which, that's a neat one. Yeah, I think the game actually has some pretty neat designs overall. And we talked about the Valkyrie on the, like, when we talked about the F-91, right?
Yes, we did.
Yeah.
Well, we've never talked about the F-91,
oh,
wait, actually.
Have we not?
No, we did talk about the Valkyrie. I don't remember under what con. I think we did. But no, we've only done the F-90, not the F-91. This is a source of chagrin for M.
That's funny.
By the way, what is with these idiot cowards? I'm looking at some other designs from Breaker Mobile, and they have the Gundam Astray Red Frame Flame. Just call it the Red Flame, you goddamn cowards. This is fucking Yoda Demand all over again.
Yeah.
Shoutouts to everyone who knows Yoda Demand.
Anyway. Alright. I think that's a wrap now. Anything else we need to cover or anything? Or
no. No, I think that's everything.
Okay. Well, Six... Where can people find you online?
You can find me on the internet at SixDetmar, SixDetmar. And you can find my work. Oh, by the way, that's where you'd send DMs for any questions or comments for the show or requests like this one. And then you can find my work at scanlinemedia.com or patreon.com/scanlinemedia. We just rebuilt the site. Kind of from scratch, not totally from scratch. We were able to like copy paste things, but it was a nightmare. And I hope you like it.
Yeah, I was gonna say I know that there's been I've been reading up on a lot of the hard difficulty, but yeah,
it's been rough. But yeah, what about you, Dylan?
You can find me at LowPolyRobot on Twitter.com, as well as on co-host, also at LowPolyRobot. Wherein I learned, sometimes I just like talking there better because I can make bigger posts, so when I'm thinking about something, instead of splitting my thoughts and then losing track of thoughts because I am posting it across a thread, if I've just got, like, more long-form thoughts, I just post them there. Different functions for the websites. I'm not getting rid of my Twitter or anything anytime soon unless, you know, it truly dies, but...
Mm-hmm.
You know... Just different uses for different websites, and I like both.
And remember, folks, if you're ever wondering if you're being too arrogant and condescending, one person with real talent is worth more than 100 lollygaggers who just show up to mess around. that's not NL, that's Toma from the game.
Yeah, no,
NL wouldn't say that.
NL would not say that, I don't think. NL
would say, I fucking hate Gundams and punch the desk.
You've tricked me. You've tricked me because you've gone, quoting Toma instead.
Peace out, everybody.
Can I find the words to tell you how I live between the walls of steel and stone? How I close my eyes to to find some kind of rapture in a world where you can feel so all alone. 'Cause I am full of light and laughter. There's a flame that burns.